and we're going to hear God's word now, I believe.
The reading is Luke 24, verses 14 to 35. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people, the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning and didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.'" Amen.
Right, I think we're back on track. Do any of you, are any of you pantomime lovers? Oh, yes, you are. Oh, no, we're not. There's certain things that go on in pantomimes, aren't there? You have to have a, he's, you know, no, he isn't. Yes, he is. You have to have that. You have to have, he's behind you. Oh, no, he's not. Yes, he is. You know, that's what comes to mind when I think about this story of the journey to Emmaus. I want to shout, "He's next to you. He's walking beside you." But they didn't notice, did they? Isn't it strange? Why didn't they recognize Jesus walking along that road with them? Any ideas? They weren't expecting it. He was dead. Yeah. I won't go into my John Cleese mode there, but he was dead. Completely dead. And you don't expect to meet dead people. His appearance was probably different somehow. But they were traumatized, weren't they? And they didn't notice that for the whole of that journey, Jesus was walking alongside them. Now, first of all, who were they? Well, we don't know, except we know one of them was called Cleopas. So the mystery is, who was the other one? Well, if you've seen paintings of the road to Emmaus, you may have seen people painting, actually like this one, two men walking along. But at the tomb, at the cross of Jesus in John's Gospel, there was a lady called Mary who was the wife of Clopas. So I just wonder whether this could even be the same couple. I don't know. I mean, we don't know. This is speculation. But it could have been a husband and wife walking home. There's just two of them. We're not actually told. But we get pictures in our mind, don't we, of what it might look like. But these people were going home. They were walking about 7 miles. So it's about like walking from here to Axminster. It's downhill too, isn't it? Yeah, so Jerusalem's on the top of a hill, so downhill. Yeah, so if you fancy a walk to Axminster this afternoon, that's about how far they were going. But we're told in the scriptures that they were kept from recognizing him. So it wasn't, they were kept from recognizing. I wonder what that was. Well, a few things from the text. They were deep in conversation. You know, my wife always tells me that I don't listen. But if I'm deep in thought or deep in doing something, I don't listen. You don't notice. So if they were in this conversation, they're not even looking. They're not taking notice. Their faces are downcast. They're walking along like this. They're not looking at this person. They may have even not even looked up. Their eyes are downcast so much. They have had shock and grief. Now, if it was Cleopas and his wife, then we know that certainly Mary was at the crucifixion. She had witnessed that terrible event of Jesus, the Messiah, being crucified. No wonder the shock, the trauma, the grief. No wonder their faces are downcast and they're despondent. And they go on to say, we had hoped that he was going to be the one who was going to he was going to be the Messiah. We had hoped, past tense, but now our hopes have been dashed. And yet, as they walked along that road, there was a certain amount of puzzlement. Because they said to the stranger, well, yes, we had hoped, but, you know, our women folk went to the tomb this morning and they said there was no body there. And they came up with this story about angels, but they didn't see him. So something was going on in their mind. What is happening? What has happened at that tomb? And at this point, rather than listening, Jesus begins to speak. First of all, he asks them, doesn't he? Tell me, what's been going on? Tell me. And they relate all that they've experienced. Jesus says, how foolish and slow you are to believe all the scriptures. And then he goes on to explain to them, all the way from Moses and the prophets, why the Messiah had to be crucified, had to die, and had to rise again. Would you not have liked to have been there at that sermon? Can you imagine? 7 miles worth of sermon. Yeah, talking about how in all the scriptures, it all points to Jesus. You know, I sometimes hear people who say, I don't read the Old Testament. Well, you know, the Old Testament is the bedrock on which the New Testament is built. Because everything that God was doing in the Old Testament was working towards his final fulfillment of the gospel when Jesus himself, God's own son, came amongst us. So that Bible study must have been absolutely incredible. Maybe you could go home, get your Bibles out, and see if you could write that sermon starting with Moses, go through the Old Testament and all the things that point to Jesus. Look at those, you know, the suffering servant passages in Isaiah. And those kind of things all point to Jesus coming. But the thing is that these disciples knew their scriptures. They were Jewish men, and they would have gone to the synagogue every week on the Sabbath. They would have listened to the scriptures being read. They didn't have their own Bibles. They didn't have printing presses in those days, but they would have heard the story. They'd just spent 3 years with Jesus, during which time, especially after they realized who he was, he then started to explain how he would have to suffer and die. But they hadn't understood. So Jesus says to them, rather gently, how slow and foolish you are. But aren't we all, we're all a bit thick sometimes, aren't we? We take a while before the penny drops. We need something. We need that eureka moment, maybe, that actually, where suddenly we understand. And Jesus, having done this 7-mile sermon, goes on as if he wants to carry on walking. But they say, well, it's late. Why don't you come and have supper with us? So they invite him to stay, and he does. So they sit down at the table, and they take the bread, and they say, you're our guest. Will you break the bread for us? So he breaks the bread. And then it says, their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened at the breaking of the bread. Well, I guess they may have remembered sitting down at the Last Supper with Jesus when he said, whenever you do this, remember me. But also, I can't help but thinking, this is not in the scriptures, but they would have seen his hands as he picked up the bread. And in his hands are still the scars. They're among the not many man-made items in heaven, but the scars in Jesus' hands are one of them. He was risen, but he still had the scars. And as he broke the bread, suddenly their eyes were opened. The penny dropped, their eureka moment. They realized that Jesus was with them. Then he disappeared. That's a bit annoying, isn't it? But it was enough. That was enough for them, that appearance, to know that Jesus had risen. So that the women at the tomb weren't making it all up. Women weren't generally believed in that society. Only men could be witnesses in court. Do you think that's terrible? But actually, Jesus deliberately showed himself to the women first, I'm sure. They were the last ones at the crucifixion, and they were the first ones at the resurrection. So as soon as they realized it was Jesus, they said, weren't our hearts burning in us as he opened the scriptures? So the next thing they do, they get up and they walk all the way back to Jerusalem. Well, they probably ran 7 miles back to Jerusalem and met the other disciples. And when they met the other disciples, they said, it's true. He's risen to us. And they say, yes, it is. He's risen to Peter. And that is a reference to that private meeting that Jesus must have had with Peter before the public declaration, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? It's true. And they went and they told their story. And that's why we're here today, folks. Because those people were so convinced that they had met the risen Christ that they went and told everybody. Even at the expense of their own lives later on, many of these were persecuted, but the gospel is still here today. So what is the conclusion from this story for us? Well, the first one is that Jesus walks beside us. You may have been going through a difficult patch in your life and you think God has abandoned you. You can't experience where he is because of grief, because of pain, because of anxiety, or whatever it may be. This story tells us that Jesus is walking beside us. Of course, the famous poem of the footprints. You know, at that time when you thought I'd abandoned you, says Jesus, I was carrying you when there was only one set of footprints. Patrick, the Irish saint who brought the gospel to Ireland, had a famous breastplate prayer about Christ being above and below, on my left and my right, before and behind. Being conscious that Christ is with us, even though we don't see him. And that's the second thing. Let's not rely on our feelings and our senses. Thomas wanted to actually touch Jesus, didn't he? He wanted to see him for himself, which is fair enough. But Jesus says, actually, blessed are those who believe without seeing. We don't have to trust how we are feeling, because if we do, I'm full of faith, I've no faith. You know, our feelings go up and down, but some things don't change. And the last thing is this: trust Jesus' promises. He says, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. That's something to say a big hallelujah about, is it not? And, you know, especially for those people at the moment who really do need to know that. There are many, many Christians in Iran. Did you know? I baptized three of them in Totterdown in Bristol. And yet their country is being bombed, and they were persecuted by their government, of course, by the Revolutionary Guard. But now they must be feeling very isolated. But Jesus is with them. Our friends Taras and Alice, who live in Ukraine, that we are in contact with, they are getting on and working and preaching the gospel, helping people to find homes and feeding them in the midst of terrible suffering. There was something on the Facebook page the other day. The Baptist church in Zaporizhzhia has been completely demolished by the invading forces, and the minister was killed. So that's happening in our own continent. Jesus says, I am with you. And if you meet people from these places, you realize what faith they've got. You know, we've got everything, and we don't think we always need God. Actually, people who have nothing realize just how much they do. And so we need to trust his promises. He says, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. So let's pray. Let's pray for our world and pray for one another. Father, we thank you for the gospel stories. We thank you for those eyewitnesses who recorded what happened, who wrote it down, and for the scribes that copied and passed on the gospel. For those who traveled into all of the world to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We give you thanks for everyone. And we acknowledge, Lord, our total dependence on you and those who passed the gospel to us. So help us, Lord, to be those who are ready to share, to give good news to those in despair and those in need. So, Father, we do pray for those suffering in the Middle East, in Iran and Gaza and Israel and every nation, Lord, that has been affected by the wars that are going on. And Father, we pray that you will have mercy on your people. We pray that wars will cease and that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, will reign again and walk in that land. So we pray, Lord, for those who are believers in such difficult circumstances. Strengthen them, we pray. As they break bread among themselves, may they see your scarred hands and be reminded that you are with them. And Lord, we pray for ourselves, for our own congregation, those that we know, those that are going through illness at the moment and just need to know your healing hand holding theirs. For those walking through the dark valley of death and grief, Lord, may they know your presence. May they know your light in the darkness. And for those, Lord, who are despondent and depressed, may they know your hope. Lord Jesus, we thank you that even death could not hold you down, that you've risen and that you are alive forever and ever. So may we hold on to that gospel of hope, and may we take it with us as we go from this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together in the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Christ as a light, illumine and guide us. Christ as a shield, overshadow us. Christ under us, Christ over us, Christ beside us, on our left and our right. Be in the heart of each to whom I speak, in the mouth of each who speaks unto me. This day be within and without me, lowly and meek, yet all-powerful. Christ as a light, Christ as a shield, Christ beside us, on our left and our right. Amen. Amen. So go in faith to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. That was to test who's the Anglicans amongst us. Should we do that again? I tell you what, let's just look at the door where we're going to go out. Well, or that one. Look towards the door you're going to leave. And it's go in peace to love and serve the Lord. And the response is, in the name of Christ, amen. Okay? Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen.